This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
It's time to talk that talk, and we talk it like no one else.
This is The Stinking Truth.
Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
Hey, welcome in, Stinking Truth Podcast. Make sure you continue to subscribe. Thank you so much for doing that. Send us a message, all those kind of things. Mark Schlereth, alongside my partner, Mike Evans. And we are in the offseason, man. This is the procurement stage of the National Football League, where you're talking about free agents, you're talking about, you know, about the upcoming draft, all the things where, you know, you're trying to, quote unquote, win the offseason. Yep. So good time of year just to talk about the news of the NFL.
Well, and for a lot of people, the most fun part is if you're one of those teams that's looking for a quarterback, you get excited about the potential of these college quarterbacks, right? And you've got the first tier of Caleb Williams and Drake May and Jaden Daniels. And then you got that next group that has the likes of J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and maybe even Michael Penix. Although the jury seems to be out on Michael Penix, you did a breakdown of Michael Penix that caught a lot of blowback for some of the things you said about Michael Penix.
Yeah, well, apparently there's a lot of people out there that feel like about Michael Penix like they did about Tim Tebow or, you know, the Rusties from the Russell Wilson camp. And, you know, I think there's a couple of things for me when, you know, I'm just looking at players. I kind of know what it's supposed to look like. And you can give me all the numbers you want to give me, and you can kind of break down, you know, the tangible skill set stuff. But when I watch it on tape, I know what looks like an NFL quarterback and what doesn't look like an NFL quarterback. And one of the things that resonates for me, I had this conversation with a guy by the name of Bill Lazor. You know, he was a longtime NFL coach, offensive coordinator, worked in Houston this year in the development of C.J. Stroud. And so we're just having this conversation because I'm going to do a Houston game, and he's a great dude. And, you know, we have this long conversation just about C.J. Stroud and, like, hey, what he was is not what he is now, you know, when we first got him, and there were some growing pains and all this, that, and the other. But he said something to me that resonated. Like, you want to have tangible numbers and stuff because it makes you feel like you know what you're doing, right? You want to be able to say, hey, he's this tall and he runs this fast. He's got this kind of arm talent. And you want all these little, let's say it's a way for people who don't know anything about football to get involved in football. And I get it. I mean, there's room for analytics and all that kind of crap that I don't really buy into. But there's room for all that stuff. And it makes people feel good about, you know, I get to be a part of it. And good for you. Be a part of it. That's great. But the bottom line is, to me, what is transferable? And the conversation I had with him is, it's not about who puts up the best numbers in college or who is the best season in college. It's the guy that has the most transferable skills to the next level. The most transferable part of his game, does it lend itself to playing at the next level? And the only way you can really look at that to me at some point is through the eyeball test. And when I looked at Michael Penix, now I only broke down one game, so I looked at one game,
But it was a significant game.
Right. It was the national championship game against Michigan. And I got blowback on Twitter, on X, or whatever you want to call it. Like, well, that's unfair because they were the best team in football, you know? And I'm like, you're shitting me, right? So he's only going to be the quarterback that plays against shitty teams? Like, hey, when we play the shitty teams, he's our guy.
Right.
When we play good teams, we're going to switch to this guy. Like, you're kidding me, right?
Right.
And so I just looked at it from the standpoint of, okay, you're playing in the national championship game. And I think he went 29 of 51 or something of that nature, had about 5 yards per pass play. He must have had 18 completions within either behind the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage, or within 4 yards of the line of scrimmage. I mean, I don't know that you could invent another way to throw a bubble screen. Like, whoever that offensive coordinator was in Washington, there are more bubble screens completed in that game from different looks and different formations and you know, different personnel groupings than in the history of college football. And I had this same argument when Baker Mayfield came out. And one of the big arguments was, well, he's the most accurate quarterback in NCAA history. Well, I should hope so. You threw 14 bubble screens a game, you know? I mean, you walk into the game and you're 18 for 18.
Right.
Now, if you complete 50% of your balls that are intermediate balls, you're sitting at 76%. Right. I should hope you can complete 76% when those are the statistics involved. So there was a couple things. Number one, like, everything was at the line of scrimmage. And then there's a couple of different plays, but I'll just give you one. They had a 2x2 mirrored concept, okay? So 2x2, right? Tight ends in the middle, receivers outside. Both receivers hit an out route. Both inside guys with a single high safety leaning toward the guy on the right-hand side. Both guys ran seams, okay? Your first look was to the left to the guy running the seam. The overhang defender basically buzzed out, meaning he's going to play curl flat, right? So you're playing cover three. There's no question. I mean, I can see it like that. Single high safety, bam, he buzzes out. We're playing cover three. It's zone. Both linebackers were in A-gap walk-up, right? Double A-gap potential blitz. So meaning that the linebacker on that side's got to carry the seam. That's his responsibility. How in the hell are you going to carry the seam when you're in the A-gap walked up? The answer is you can't. So that guy runs, the overhang defender buzzes. Michael Penix looks at him. It's a wide open 30-yard gain if you just throw it. What does he do? Takes the 6-yard stick route on the outside, the 6-yard out route.
You have a line that you use a lot about what's open and
yes.
Or it's covered in college versus what's open in the NFL.
What's completely covered in college is wide ass open in the NFL.
Right.
And you bypassed that throw. Now, there's a little bit of a layering to that throw, but if you complete it, it's 30 yards and you're in the red zone. If that guy makes the safety miss, it's a touchdown. And you bypassed it. Shit like that is like, you can't play for me. So it's the little things that you look at. Like on TV, if you watch the TV copy, you're at home watching the TV copy, you're like, hey, man, that's a great throw. Perfect on the out, you know, outside shoulder away from the cornerback who's, you know, dropping out, but still perfect. Everything mechanically is perfect. It was great. I look at that. That's a minus, minus, minus for me. It's the worst throw. That's the worst decision you could possibly make. And then lastly, I look at Penix, and I'm like, that arm slot? You know, I kept hearing about his arm talent, this, that, and the other. He's like, I mean.
Well, he's left-handed, but yeah.
Okay. He's going to get 14 balls a game blocked in the NFL. I just, like. Like, hey, man, you can take him with your pick, but I ain't touching him with mine.
So when you talk about transferable skills, so for everybody out there watching, what should they be looking for with these college quarterbacks when they look at the highlights or watch a game that they've recorded? What are those transferable skills that you're looking for, they should be looking for?
Like, one thing that's hard in college is there's so much spread. Right. So there's a lot of static formations, 3x2, you know, 3x1, the wide side of the field and all that stuff. So transferable skills. Can you make a throw in a tight window? Can you make an anticipatory throw? And can you read through progression? And progression passing is not something a lot, like there's not a lot of college football teams that do that. Like a lot of times you'll get into a situation like, let's say you're in 3-by-2 and you spread the whole defense out. Remember, wide side of the field in college football has got about 12 more feet or 4 more yards of real estate because of the difference in the hash marks. Yep. So you run a slant in college football and like you complete it and it's just wide ass open because they're playing some type of zone. Like let's not sit there and go, oh my God, this guy is great. Like one of the things, I go back when I was really covering the draft for ESPN back in a long time ago. And I remember I went up to NFL Films and I spent 4 days sequestered or 3 days sequestered in NFL Films where I had all the college tape. And so I was looking at all the first and second round guys, you know, at every position. And remember Matt Leinart was coming out, and Matt Leinart was a very, you know, big time prospect. And I was like, dude, you can't pass by the first read in your progression, which is a seam route that's wide ass open, and you decide not to throw it, and then swing it out to Reggie Bush, and he makes 14 people miss and goes for 65 yards, and you're 1-for-1 with a TD and 65 yards, and everybody says how great you are. That's not great. Like, if the first read your progression is a tough throw and you bypass it, like if you decide not to make tough throws in college football because there's something else wide open, it's the first read you should make in your progression, no thanks. And then you go back and you look at just like, I'll give you for instance, I'm talking in the Niners. I'm doing a Niners game and we're talking about Sam Darnold. And I have a vested interest because I live in a city in Denver that needs a freaking quarterback. So I'm wondering about the football rehab. And here's a guy that's been in the league, what now, 4 years, Sam Darnold, something like that? In 2018.
2018 draft, yeah.
So 2018, 2019, 5 years. 2020. Okay, this is the fifth year. So he comes into the Jets, spends his time with the Jets, what, 3 seasons or whatever it is, gets traded to Carolina. At the time, Carolina's got Matt Rhule. Then Matt Rhule gets fired. Steve Wilks takes over, and Ben McAdoo takes over as his offensive coordinator. So that's late in the 2022 season. That, call it 8 games, was the first 8 games in Sam Darnold's career that he was in a progression passing system. So here you have a guy that has all the tangible skills to be great, and he's an intelligent guy that was never truly ever put in an NFL offense.
Right.
And so it's things like that that you have to kind of look at. And so that's what I'm trying to see. And that film against Michigan, I don't care who you are, that film against Michigan was was horrible. It doesn't make me an expert. It just makes, like, I look at things and go, he can play. Like, I could go down, and this is the honest to God's truth, and I think most players could do this. I could go throughout a practice, my first practice of the preseason, like the first mini camp.
Yep.
And I could pick the roster to within 2 or 3 guys every single year. I just watch a guy move and go, that dude can play, that dude can play. He don't have a chance. He sucks.
You know? Well, tell the story. It goes back a ways, but go back to your days in Washington.
Drafted 2 guys, 1 fourth or 5th overall, 1 in the 7th round.
Well, you can say the names. You said them before.
No, I will
yeah,
tell you.
Okay.
I'm going to get to it. We do the very first practice of minicamp. And so the starters go. John Freeze was our starter. It's 1994, I think. And then we sit out, and they repeat the 20. So we've already done the 20 plays, right? So we repeat the team period, another 20 plays. So we're just watching. I'm standing along with, you know, Riley McKenzie and Ed Simmons and you know, just the offensive line in general. I think Bostic was there. And or was Bostic retired? I don't know. But whatever it was. And watched about 15 plays of team, about ready to wrap it up. I turned to one of my buddies, I think Raleigh or whoever, and I said, I'm telling you right now, mark my words, The kid we drafted in the seventh round is 10 times better than the kid we drafted fourth overall or whatever it was. I guarantee you right now, kid we drafted fourth overall or fifth overall, whatever, he's Shuler. Kid we drafted in the seventh round, Gus Frerotte. Gus Frerotte went on to play a very long time. Heath didn't. You know,
you can tell right away.
Yeah.
How does so many, why are so many mistakes made?
I think
why?
Because mistakes, I think most of the mistakes are made because of you overdraft guys and you hope under my expert tutelage, I'll fix them. I'll teach them how to play. So I think that's part of it. I think it's really hard to transition, you know, the college game. It's hard because it's different. It just is different the way they play it. So I think that's part of it. I think the other thing is you rely on people to scout, and the people who scout want to give you a tangible number so they're not wrong. So it's like baseball. Well, his spin rate, does he get guys out or does he not? Right. Yeah, he had a 6.86 ERA. Right. Yeah, but his spin rate, who gives a shit, right? I don't care about your spin rate.
You're right.
So I think there's all these tangible numbers where you slide it over and go, here's our guy. Look, he ran, you know, 4.640. He's got big time arm talent.
Checking boxes.
He had a 40. Yeah, you're checking boxes. And then when you slide it over, you say, okay, that's on you now. If you can't coach him up, it's not my fault. And so everybody's got, like, instead of just putting it out there,
right?
Everybody wants that fallback scenario.
Job preservation. Yeah. Just cover your ass. Yeah, I got you.
So that, I think that's one of the things that goes on. But I'm telling you, you talk to any player who's played any length of time in the National Football League, and they'll tell you, man, you could see right away that that guy was a player. Brian Mitchell should be in the Hall of Fame. Very first time he touched the ball, we're playing a preseason game against the Atlanta Falcons in Carolina, Washington Redskins, Atlanta Falcons. He gets in the game in the fourth quarter, return a kickoff. He's never returned kickoffs before. 99-yard house call. You're like, oh, yeah, that dude can play.
Yeah.
Like that dude. And you knew it in practice, though. You watch him in practice because he was a former quarterback. Should be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest special teams players in the history of our game. By the way, we just had one retire, Matt Slater, after 16 years for New England Patriots.
Belichick calls him the
greatest special teams player in history.
Yep.
Think about that lineage. You know, we talk about the Matthews all the time. Jackie played for 20 years, his father. Matthew just played for 16.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's some
Football genes right there.
That's some genetics, man.
Well, so hopefully now all of you who were told at the beginning of this podcast that you know nothing about football, now you have been educated to the point that when you look at these college quarterbacks, you now know what to look forward to. You have been educated.
Yeah, probably not. You guys probably still don't get it. But you know what?
Look at the completion percentage.
Yeah. Ooh, this guy's so accurate. Ooh, when Josh Allen came out, I like Josh Allen a lot.
Yeah.
And people were like, well, his completion percentage. I go, have you ever been to Laramie, Wyoming?
Yeah.
Have you ever?
It's a wind tunnel.
It's a freaking wind tunnel.
Yeah. Right.
And plus, how many dudes that are like legit wide receiver guys want to go to Laramie, Wyoming to play football? No offense, Laramie, but you are windy. You are windy.
It is windy.
It is windy.
We've never been there. Trust me, there's no real reason to go.
By the way, they actually, who was the quarterback, or who was the coach back? Was it Glenn, Joe Glenn? They actually played an NFL style of offense.
Yeah.
So
something else to look forward to is transferable.
Yeah, do you play? That's why J.J. McCarthy, at least I know he played with tight ends. He played with a fullback. He played in a progression style of offense. It wasn't just all spread stuff. So, like, his ability to transition from college to professional should be accelerated because he actually, under Jim Harbaugh, played like Andrew Luck did. You know, they're going to run spider to white banana. You know, they're going to do that stuff. So, anyhow, I'm on a soapbox. I apologize.
It's all right. It's a very important time. These college quarterbacks, they could represent the future of a franchise. You got to know what you're looking for as a fan. So, good stuff. And then next week, we start getting ready for the combine.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe we'll know where Justin Fields is going to end up, Russell Wilson's future. Dak Prescott, is he going to reset the market for NFL quarterback contracts? A lot of stuff happening.
Man, I tell you what, we're going to have a big week next week.
Big week.
Because we're going to go through it all right here on the Stinking Truth Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back with you a couple times next week, and we'll continue to have this train rolling down the tracks. A-chugga-chugga, a-choo-choo.